Your 16th birthday, your first girlfriend, the first time you ever had a deep-fried Snickers. There are some things in life, some occasions that are momentous. They are milestones in your life. And today, listener of the Greatest Song You Never Heard podcast, you are on one of those milestone moments for myself, Chris Cochran, and my good friend, Phil Anderson. Mr. Phil Anderson, tell everyone hello.
Hola. Buenos dias. Hello. I can't do a Jamaican accent, which I really want to do. Hello, man.
You don't, you're better off to use just the Phil accent. Welcome to the Greatest Song You Never Heard podcast, where my friend Phil Anderson and I get together most weeks and have a conversation about the songs in our libraries that we think are some of the greatest songs that you as a listener have probably never heard. And right before we started recording, we started having a conversation about why this show exists and how it started. And by the way, before we get any farther and we have that conversation, this is episode what, Phil?
100.
And actually, statistically, most podcasts actually quit before episode 25.
I was going to say 10 to 15 seems to be the sweet spot for quitting.
Yeah.
But you're right. We've far surpassed the vast majority of podcasts out there, which is amazing once I bring up some statistics regarding us.
Oh,
because in the 13 years we've been doing this, we're at episode 100.
13 years?
It took you that long to realize that I said 13 years.
It also took me that long to realize I still had my air conditioner going, so it was very loud.
Well, and it also gets me to understand that sometimes, maybe more times than I'd like to admit, Chris just tunes me out.
Welcome to my wife's world.
Yeah, that's right. You know, there's a guy I played music with at Lake City Church. His name is Gary Moreno. And when he was talking about his wife, Patty, he said, "My wife is like, why would I use 20 words when I can use 100?
Oh, that's my motto in life.
Well, Shelley would say that about me, although I think she'd probably say 1,000, but there you go.
So it's let's talk about the Greatest Song You Never Heard podcast for just a second, because yes, this is our 100th episode. And for those who haven't been with us since day one, one of the reasons that we started this was I had this crazy idea in like 2005, 2006, something about that, about a podcast like this. And at the time, I was doing a daily podcast, a daily 20-minute long podcast called The Carcast. And I was doing that because at the time I thought, I'm going to be rich and famous and be the next Ryan Seacrest, because podcasting is going to be a big deal. And little did I know, I was just 20 years too early. And nobody knew what a podcast was back then. And so I didn't make any money out of doing that. And so I never did this podcast because I never was successful with my first podcast. And Phil, you have another podcast that you do right now called Wine Time Fridays. Yep. Why did you start Wine Time Fridays?
Well, funny you should ask. I started Wine Time Fridays so that Shelley and I could cut into our wine budget every month, because we were spending between, I don't know, $250, $400. I don't know what that says about us, but I'm like, I don't want to spend this much money on wine, right, but I still want to drink wine. And so we did it to cut into that budget.
Yeah,
I say to get free wine. And now we have a couple hundred bucks in our cellar, or a couple hundred bottles in our cellar. Most of it's pretty good wine. We have sponsors. Yeah. And now we go into a tasting room. And my first question is, do you give industry discounts? And they're like, yes, free flights.
Wow.
Which, why not say this is the first time going public with this, Chris?
That's fine.
I've had a conversation with the Finger Lakes Wine Alliance.
Oh.
And we are working on a Wine Time Fridays feature of Finger Lakes Wine next year, where
they will
fly us out.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Put us up into a hotel. And we have, it's not just the two of us, we have two other team members of the Wine Time Fridays podcast, Chris and Heidi Cochran.
What? Get out of town.
So
that's
we'll
so cool.
So we'll see. We'll see.
For those who don't know, I live about an hour and a half from the Finger Lakes. And so it's a big deal because I just was there in the Finger Lakes a couple of weeks ago, got some wine for Shelley and Phil there, shipped it out to them so they could, well, I didn't ship it out. I shipped out vinegar, artisanal vinegar to them, which isn't a lie because if you let it go, it would turn into vinegar. and I shipped that out to them so that we could do an episode of Wine Time Friday. So the fact that you've been working on this is so freaking cool.
Yeah, it's not in stone or anything. They said they're working. They have a little budget for outside bringing in and media and stuff like that. And you know, when we went to Paso Robles with Lindsay and Brian, they were a part of the Wine Time Fridays. What did I say? The Different Perspective team.
Oh, I like
we
it.
Have
I like
a wine, Wine Time Fridays Different Perspective team. And so I said we wouldn't need flights for the other two part of our team, just accommodations. And I put a minimum, a maximum spend so they wouldn't get blown. Yeah. And it's a full on proposal.
That's
and
awesome.
Of course I spelled the word R wrong. It should be O-U-R instead of A-R-E. Shelley brought that up after I sent it. So anyway, we'll see how
that.
They
saw you were from Idaho when it made sense.
Well, there you go. To do, where's the we need to have a little what do they call that?
Rimshot.
Thank you, Rimshot.
So the reason I brought that up though is because when we started Greatest Song You Never Heard podcast, it was not with any of those things in mind. It was literally a passion project where Phil and I were talking about this idea, and we both loved music and we both loved spending time together. And we started the show just because we enjoy each other's company and good music.
By the way, it was over a glass of wine.
It was. It very much was.
I think there was maybe scotch involved and all of that. And then Chris said, you know, and brought up this idea, you would be perfect for this. And I looked at Shelley and she's like, after our social media conference.
And we started it after the social media conference.
That's what we did.
And I have to say, Phil, of the 100 episodes we've done, I have enjoyed every single one of them, even though sometimes your music wasn't to my tastes, even though sometimes it wasn't the greatest song I've never heard. The bulk of them, the vast majority, have been some of the greatest songs I've never heard. And more importantly, I've gotten to hang out with my good friend Phil Anderson and spend time learning a little bit more about him and understanding his passion for music, wine, and life in general.
Well, and we do have different tastes. We really do. As an example of that, we have you are really lyrically driven, okay?
Yes.
You will appreciate a well-recorded song with great musicians.
Yes.
It's really the lyrics that catch you, okay? The lyrics, it's complete opposite for me. I love a good lyrical song, but man, it's the music, it's the instruments, it's how they play together that really, that's why I tend to go with some jazz, because I like the instrumental and that sort of thing. So I think coming up, we have one of those songs in the next couple of weeks, and it's just a lot of fun. But music is, everyone's got different tastes. And I think that we are an example of that, because we respect the other one.
Yep, absolutely.
During our 100 songs, there have been a couple times where, I played a song that you knew immediately what it was, because it was one of the greatest songs ever heard, not never heard. the Traveling Wilburys.
I put a list together, Phil, of my favorite songs that you have brought to this episode, to this podcast. You want me to just kind of run through the list real quick for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, please.
Okay. And these are kind of in no particular order, like of anything other than, but I will tell you, say my favorite two for the end. Number one was the Tony Sheridan and Beatles Sweet Georgia Brown episode. I love that song.
By the way, you'll not hear that episode on Spotify.
No, you won't. and it reminded me that if Tony Sheridan had stayed with the Beatles, they would never have been the Beatles, because he sounds more like Tony Bennett than Tony Sheridan. Number two was Chicago's Harry Truman.
That was recent.
Yeah, it was recent.
Yep.
St. Louis Blues from Peter Conciotti. Is that how you say his last name?
Sincotti.
Yeah. Jamie Colum's mixtape was on there.
That was like number one. That was number one.
The Who's Eminence Front, because I do not like The Who, but I liked that song.
Yeah.
My next most important song was The End of the Line from The Traveling Wilburys.
The greatest song ever heard.
And my favorite song that you brought so far, my favorite of all of them,
is
Gratitude from Jason Mraz, because it was the first episode we did after Phil got out of the hospital having severe COVID. And it was so apropos and so touched my heart, because it was what we were both feeling at the time. I know that Phil felt it for very more personal reasons than I did, but my friend Phil was sick for very, very sick for several weeks, and we were concerned about his long-term stability. And that song really is a testament to the way I know that a lot of people in Phil's life felt about the fact that we still had Phil around, even though it was touch and go for a while.
So I don't think that you're correct about me being out of COVID on that.
What do you mean?
That Jason Mraz song, if memory serves me, which it does because I'm looking at the notes, that was posted on November 26th, 2020. I didn't go into the hospital until 2021. So I can tell you exactly what song was played when I came out.
What was the one you played when you... Oh, it's Feeling Good.
Nope. It's Good to Be Alive.
Good to Be Alive.
Yep. And it's still one of my very, very, very... It's Imelda May. It's Good to Be Alive. We played that November 7th, 2021.
I thought that was too obvious to be the right one.
but what people don't know is I played that song every day. And honestly, I have a meditation. It's just an 8-minute meditation, an affirmation meditation. And we have an Echo Dot outside right by the hot tub. And for the occasional time that I get to take a hot tub in the morning, I ask is, Allie, play Meditation 4 playlist from Phil's Spotify. And it starts that meditation. And I sit in there, and the next thing played is that song, It's Good to Be Alive. I really like that song. So the Jason Mraz one surprised me that you said that, because that was back in a time where we thought we were going to be consistent enough to where we can maybe throw some theme songs in.
Right.
We had a couple Christmas songs that year. And then it's like at that point, we realized we're not consistent enough. It's a passion project, a ways down the priority list. But I love that. I've got a few that you've played, but I feel like I want to just say thank you to Todd Hornby.
Absolutely.
For writing and recording our intro and outro.
We have just got a compliment on it this week.
That's right. We've had listeners that have complimented that. I wanted to just say, if anybody wants to go to Todd's, I have it up. It's soundcloud.com/Todd Hornby with one D. And they are more than welcome to check that out. I've actually, maybe we'll put that in the show notes at a later time, but gosh, I have it right here. Yep, soundcloud.com/Todd Hornby.
Perfect.
With one D. And so the reason I wanted to mention that is Todd has been struggling with prostate cancer. And so I would love to give a shout out and send good juju that way. Had a conversation with him this week, and things are looking good. He and his wife have struggled with some cancer things lately, and they're both doing very well. And so I asked if we could mention it. He says, yeah, I'm not keeping a secret. He's not on social much with it, but he appreciates the thoughts. And by the way, any good thoughts going out to people, it just builds on that. So now I will get to some of the songs that I really like. You know, the one from Owen, the Sad Waltzes of Pietro Crespi. Yeah. You did the Michael Stipe, Chris Martin song In the Sun just this year. That was so, so very good. what is the song from Anna?
Tehuno.
Yeah. 1977. That was a really good one. You did
that was the first rap song we did on the show.
Yes. Yes. We also did Quincy Jones. We did a Quincy Jones tune. That was.
Yep. And Slick Watts was one of the other.
That's right. Yes. And you know, there's so many fun songs. The Wallflowers, I Started a Joke. What a great version of that song.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Great version of that song.
From the Zoolander soundtrack, by the way.
That's so funny. You know, and then there's some touching things, right? You played a David Bowie tune, a Glen Campbell tune.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those were projects that they had before they knew they were passing away.
Yeah.
And a very stripped down version, which I absolutely love. And of course, Jesta.
Did
that. And I must say, Chris, that I had lined up our friend Brian Page to be a guest on this episode.
What?
It didn't work out. And when you played one of his songs, I backed off a bit because he was going to write a song strictly for this episode.
What? I ruined it, is what you're telling me.
No, ruined is a very strong word, Chris. But if you want to go with that, we can go with that. and of course, my all-time favorite is that Christmas tune, Blood Oranges in the Snow. Oh, just haunting. Love the song. That song evokes everything that a Christmas can bring, you know, the food cooking at the sink. You know, and now every time I see Blood Oranges in the store, I'm like, we have to buy one because of the song. So.
And throw it out in the yard.
That's right. That's right. Well, up here we can do that. Hey, we should actually play a song.
Well, we should let people know too that we're going to do something a little different this episode. We're going to both play songs, so it'll be a little longer than normal, but that's okay. And we really didn't plan this out too incredibly much,
which is good.
I have a song. We also talked about bringing some of our favorite songs that we have brought to the table, and so the song that I am bringing for you today, Phil, is a throwback to a previous song. So we can start there or end there. It's your call.
Let's end there.
Okay. Then let me tell you my second favorite song that I've brought to the table.
Oh, okay. Okay, good.
It was Mary Don't You Weep from Prince. And the reason it's my second favorite song is because Phil thought it was a woman.
Dude, I forgot about that. And when I was looking at the list, I missed that. That is right up there with Blood Oranges in the Snow. That song... So we have a playlist on Spotify that's got about, I don't know, 90% of these songs, because some of these songs are not found on Spotify.
And
that's, you just got to find that one. And they're in order. So best song ever you brought. I forgot to mention the Elvis Costello song.
That you did while teaching aerobics. My question is... I'm a very visual thinker. Were you wearing leg warmers when you were teaching aerobics?
Absolutely not.
And shorty shorts?
It was in the 80s. Our good friend Richard Simmons passed recently. We don't want to get too far into that because we don't want people to start turning off. So,
well, then we're going to bring two songs today. Phil will bring one. I will bring one. And Phil, why don't you go first? And I'm telling you, if you're going to like only listen to one song, skip this one and go to mine because it'll be a nice throwback. But endure the whole thing because it'll be really, really good. So, Phil, bring us a song today that no one's ever heard, but you think might be one of the greatest songs that no one's ever heard.
much misery. Some people sail through life in struggle reef. Said, hey man, let's go out and get some wisdom.
I think you brought the song on purpose just because there's a fade at the end and you love the fade so much.
Oh, there's actually multiple reasons I brought this song today.
Well, okay, so this is the second time in the last few episodes you've brought a song about a religious authority. Is there something you want to talk about?
Well, now that you mention it.
I love this song, by the way. The only thing about this song I don't like is it sounds way too much like Bob Dylan, even though I know it's not Bob Dylan because there's not enough syllables in the meter of each line, because Bob Dylan would try to fit as many syllables as possible in each meter, and he wouldn't do that. But it's about the same level of, like, singing.
Funny you should say that. At the time of this recording, actually, we're dropping this, Bob Dylan is playing at the Gorge this coming weekend.
Oh, for real?
With Willie Nelson, and there's one other act.
Is it Waylon Jennings?
Nah, I don't remember. The reason I know this is one of our guests for the Wine Time Fridays podcast, not to drop that name too many times, but they are going to a concert next weekend. We're going to have them on that Monday. We're going to be in Walla Walla, and he's going to talk about the Missoula Floods.
Is that a band? Missoula?
No, it should be. The Missoula Floods should be a band.
Yes, it should.
No. I'll let you listen to one of those episodes of Wine Time Fridays because it is absolutely so cool about the Missoula Floods. That is all the terroir in the whole area of Washington is because of those floods, you know, 12,000 years ago. Yeah, yeah, it's very cool. Anyway, Kevin Pope.
I like this. You know, for a person who doesn't bring, who focuses more on the music than the lyrics, this is very lyrically driven. There's a lot of like depth to the lyrics of this song. The guitar solo, the horn section is great, but they're kind of in the background. The guitar solo is fantastic. But it's not the big emphasis of this song. And I really, really like this last chord, the last verse where he says, there's a preacher out there warning me about Satan. Could it be that he knows him? Cause he acts like he's possessed. I said, hey man, let's hear about God realization for a change. He said, we ain't got time for that. First, you must hear the evils of fornication. Which is such a, like, one of the, my wife grew up as a pastor's daughter. Her grandfather was a minister. So she spent a lot of time growing up in church. And then I was a minister for a while. So she spent a large amount of her life in church, listening to people preach. And she often says, if you want to know what a pastor struggles with, listen to what they preach on the most. And
Yes.
You are, and she is right. And so when I read these lyrics, I was like, oh, this is so, like, it just fits in line with her theology about what pastors struggled with. That's what they preach on the most.
Well, there's an album that came out in 2001 that this song is from.
2001, and, interesting.
Yeah. You know, I tout the benefits of the Spotify Discovery playlist.
Yes.
Which I really enjoyed. This came up at one point, and I have now whittled down my I only have two private playlists now. I have three on my Spotify playlist because I don't want you to go looking at these songs that I've got coming up. Okay,
I can't find you. I was trying in preparation for this, trying to find the Greatest Song You Never Heard podcast playlist, and I never found that playlist. I can't.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, really?
No.
Oh, well, maybe there's something I don't know. But I've added to the playlist called Shortlist, and it's whittled down to the short list of songs. And so because Brian Page left me high and dry, I had to come up with a song. Brian Page, it's no biggie. I know he had a really tough time. He was like, his whole family was sicker than a dog this summer.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. And so I'm like, yeah, whatever. It sounds like an excuse, but I'll let it go because you write good music and you're a friend of the podcast.
He writes wonderful music.
Yeah. And so this song kept coming up, and I'm literally, this has got to be one of these songs. And so just before we hit record today, I had made the decision to go this song. And I think you'll find a couple interesting tidbits.
Okay.
First of all, this is off an album called, and I can never remember this guy's name, Jules Holland.
Oh, really? Jules Holland? Do you know who Jules Holland is?
Well, I've come to know more, but Jules Holland and Friends, Small World, Big Band. Okay.
Wow.
Some of the artists he plays with on this album is Sting.
Yep.
He plays with Paul Weller, Sam Brown, Dr. John, big Dr. John tune. In fact, We'll Go Around in Circles. Is that a song that I did, or was it the other one from the fifth Beatle? Anyway, We'll Go Around in Circles. He plays with Paul Weller. Just so many different artists, Mark Knopfler, Van Morrison. It's a pretty Stevie Winwood, dude. So,
yeah. Do you know Jewel Holland's history?
Well, I know a little bit about him. Isn't he a band leader of Later with Jules Holland, BBC's?
Well, no. He's the host of Later with Jules Holland, which is kind of like, we don't have anything like it in the States. It's kind of like American Bandstand.
It still exists.
And he was a member of the band Squeeze. Do you remember Squeeze?
Really? Yes.
Yeah. He was a member of the band Squeeze, and then he later went on to host Jules Holland, Later with Jules Holland, which is why he has connections with all these famous people and why he was able to put an album out like that, because that's what he does for his show. And Later with Jules Holland's will show bands. It was kind of like American Bandstand in the 70s and 80s, where all of a sudden Dick Clark would walk out and go, let me introduce you to a young 17-year-old who goes by his name is Roger Nelson, but he goes by the name Prince. And then all of a sudden he's like out there playing, and you're like, and an 18-year-old Prince is playing, and later on it becomes Prince.
Yeah,
that's what Jules Holland does as well. He's got these big name people, but he's also breaking new acts all the time.
So this song, the person who wrote the song is actually singing.
Okay.
The person who wrote the song is also playing guitar.
Okay.
So I'm glad you liked his guitar. He actually, this was one of his last recordings before he passed away on November 29th, 2001, when he died at the age of 58.
Wow.
After a long battle with lung cancer.
You're getting all sentimental like you knew this person.
This person is George Harrison.
This is George Harrison?
This is George Harrison.
No wonder he sounds terrible. He was about to die.
Well, he doesn't sound terrible, but he does have a little thinner vocals, doesn't he? He doesn't sound terrible.
He doesn't sound like George Harrison.
You talked poorly about the dead, Chris, and that's going to come down. I'm going to come up with another religious song about not talking bad about the dead. They're going to strike you down.
That's fair enough. No. What I'm saying is, I'm a huge Beatles fan.
I know.
I've done deep dives on all of the solo recordings from both George Harrison and everybody.
This never made one of his albums.
No.
But he wrote this. Yeah.
He just doesn't sound like George Harrison either.
Yeah. I love this song. I think the horns are really good.
Yeah.
This was actually recorded in 2000. So just a year before he passed away.
Okay.
Yep. So,
we often talk about why a song wasn't bigger. I can see why this song wasn't a huge hit at the time, even though it was George Harrison, and partly because the style of music that this is and even the production on it just in 2001, it would have not been in favor during that time. So it makes sense why this was never a huge hit.
Yeah. They knew each other, were good friends, obviously.
Yeah.
But I rolled the dice on this a little bit, and I loved when you said the Sweet Georgia Brown was one of your favorite. I'm like, oh, I might have something in the back pocket here.
What's the name of this song?
The name of this song is Horse to the Water.
Mm.
Off the 2001 album, Jules Holland and Friends Small World Big Band. Yeah,
wow.
And it's the second track on the song, Horse to the Water, Jules Holland, George Harrison. Does Jules Holland play an instrument?
I believe he does.
The keyboard player on this is unbelievable, and I guess he is the one who plays piano, is Jules Holland on this song. Wow. Accomplished piano that my affinity for piano and those little piano licks at the end, you know, if our listeners, if this is on YouTube, which it will never be,
because keyboards,
Jewel. Oh, yep. Well, okay. And he, that's who's playing on the song too. So good.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah. But, my body motion on some of these songs, it would be embarrassing if it was made public. So
Good thing this is only an audio recording and not a video recording.
It'll never be on YouTube. Nope.
Same with me, because if no one can see me, but I was like staring off into the distance and not even paying attention. I was just listening and absorbing the song. So.
Oh, well, good. Because you said not paying attention. I'm like, okay.
I absolutely loved this song, and I love it even more now that I know that it's George Harrison. Even though he did sound a little like Bob Dylan. This is very much one of the greatest songs I've never heard. I loved every second of this song. And the lyrics make way more sense now because of the wonderful lyricist that was George Harrison. Although, we've referenced this many times on the show, if you've watched the Peter Jackson Get Back special, I've come to the conclusion that George Harrison was both a tortured Beatle in the sense that he didn't get the recognition that he should have gotten as a Beatle. While he was in the Beatles, and a whiny little bitch.
Well, it's funny you should say that. I ran across a new podcast. And I'm getting that a little bit, that he is a whiny little bitch from as many times as he would leave some of the recording sessions. Yeah. It's called Looking Through the Glass Onion.
Oh, interesting.
A Beatles... Forget all everything, the rest of it. Oh, a Beatles song podcast. So they were going to go through all the Beatles songs, and then they stopped in 2022. So I don't know.
Oh, then I have one for you to follow up with. It's called A Life in Lyrics.
Oh,
and it's Paul McCartney and what is his name? Paul McCartney and Poet Laureate Paul Muldoon, and they literally go through all Beatles songs that Paul McCartney wrote and examine the lyrics from a poetic standpoint. It's really, really good.
There's so many. Next week, I'm going to bring up a couple more that I want to talk to you about, because this podcast, actually, the model has been stolen. What we do, really? Chris. Yes. Someone else is Will
Mother
Arnett.
Mother Eppers.
I know. Will Arnett, Sean Hayes, and Jason Bateman have stolen the model of this podcast, Chris. You know, but they're good guys. They're good.
Yeah, they
guys,
got money. We want it.
So we bring a song that the other person doesn't know. They bring a guest onto their, it's called Smartless. They bring a guest onto their podcast that the other two don't know. It's blatant plagiarizing the idea. Speaking of, well, I'm not really, but some notes.
Okay.
Ready?
Yep.
This podcast, we've went 4 months without a new episode between July and November 2023.
Okay.
So somewhat recently.
Was when I moved.
It could be.
Yeah. I moved July, in my new place.
Yep. It took you, what, July, August, September, October, 5 months.
Well, move.
We also went 3 months without a new episode between November 23 and this February 24. We've went 2 months without a new episode this year between May and June. And to date, between the two of us, we are 48 songs you've brought, 49 you've brought to the table, 50 I brought to the table.
Wow.
Up to this point. So okay. We're pretty, pretty even.
Yeah.
There was, of course, the two songs that we both knew right away, my Traveling Wilburys, which, much to your daughter's delight, I keep bringing up to, so she can get a little giggle, and your Elvis Costello, Veronica.
That's true.
Which I knew on the second beat of the drum, because it has that drum riff to start. We have never repeated an artist.
No, we have not.
Which is kind of cool, because I've fought the urge many a time.
Well, there's no rules against it.
I understand that. This is our podcast. We can do what we want. But I just wanted to throw a couple of those things out there that... there have been some downtimes. I think when I was in the hospital, we didn't record for a little bit.
That's correct. You could barely actually breathe during that time. So,
well, and then that first one back, I have the oxygen tank next to me.
That's true.
Which, you know, back way, I don't think about those times. So those are a few statistics regarding this podcast that are kind of fun, I think. And now we should get to that.
Well, it's very apropos that you bring up some of those stats, as okay. you will find out in a minute. Now, the song that I've brought for the 100th episode is one of my favorite songs of all time. Like, it's in my top, like, five songs of my entire life. When I die, this song will be going through my head at some point, I'm sure. Like, on my deathbed. And it's one,
not the great things that Heidi's ever told you in life, not your kids and how wonderful they are.
You have to understand there's something about me that you don't know, Phil. At all times, no matter what time of the day or night, if I wake up in the middle of the night, if I'm walking, if I'm running, if I'm writing something, if I'm doing a podcast, there's a song playing in my head at all times that no one but me can hear. And this song will probably be playing while I'm thinking about all the great things that
all the other things
done okay. my kids. Yeah, yeah. My best, my good, friend Phil Anderson, you know, all those things.
There you go. The one thing that struck a chord with you. Good.
So this is one of those songs that I was introduced to at a very pivotal time in my life and has stuck with me and has become timeless in the sense that I don't think that it is, I don't think it's dated at all in the production, in the like lyrics, in the anything. And so it will throw back, and you'll understand after this song how it's a throwback. And there's actually a little song B that we're going to listen to as well. So Phil, did you see both of those?
No, I should probably do that.
Did I get you song one and song one B?
Let me just double check here. This is real time, folks. I've got Chris Cochran, song one. Oh, there's multiple downloads. Oh, look at that.
Yes. Good, good, good. I thought I'd screwed something up there.
Oh, there's one B right there. Well, let me go ahead and download that one and stick that right there.
You can stick
there
it right
go.
There.
There we go. No, I did stick it right there. 100 Chris B. There we go. And
let's start with song one, not song one B. Let's do that one first.
I won't even upload song one B yet.
You know what I will do too while we're sitting here, send you the lyrics.
There you go. Here we go. With song number 2 of 3 today, because Chris always wants to outdo me.
Well, I see something I want. Bam,
And we have an opener for the show.
Oh, it's nice to get those marks when you have them. So I don't remember ever hearing this song.
You haven't?
Okay.
That's why it's called The Greatest Song You Never Heard Podcast, Phil.
Well, but you said you're going to revisit. And so I'm like very confused right now. I'm like, I'm guessing the name of the song is called The Lust, The Flesh, The Eyes, and The Pride of Life.
That is correct.
Because those are highlighted. They've got a link on my Apple note that I put the lyrics in.
Yes.
There's a link. I could go to that, but I didn't. But it did kind of tell me that's got to be the name of it, right?
It is. It is. Sorry about that.
No, it seems like this is I hear a worship song here, to be honest with you. The way there's just something about worship songs, the way they're written. Hymns are different than worship songs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not, but they are. Yes. Worship songs are considered more contemporary, play with the band, but they're all within these certain keys. They've all got the same sort of progression. This had that feel. Am I wrong about that?
Not particularly wrong. This song actually is from a Bible verse, is 1 John 2:16. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. And one of the things about this song I love is the fact that somebody read that and then took those three things and recognized they were three separate things and understood that there is actually depth to each one of those things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And then each one of these verses is reflective of each one of those three things.
Yeah, that's really, really cool.
And it's one of those songs that, I mean, like when you read through this, and he talks about how we want all this crap. I'm always looking for more things that I don't really need. And how I love it when people compliment me and tell me about how groovy I am, or I want to feel good all the time. It is universally, this song is from 1984, 85.
Oh, wow.
I believe, I'll have to look that up to be 100% positive about that. But it's from that long ago, and yet it still could be written about today's society.
Sure, sure.
Right? With TikTok, influencers and celebrities and our pursuit of everything else. It is
pursuit of the like.
Yes, yes.
Is that still going? So actually, I had a conversation with somebody, a potential new client, and they're like, I know it's social media is all about the likes and the, I'm like, you know, first of all, Shelly and I, we don't play that game because it's more than just that. And I'm not so sure that game is being played anymore, but maybe it is.
I don't know.
I just don't deal with it.
But this is one of those songs. I heard this song for the first time within 6 months of meeting Heidi, and it was on an album that we both enjoyed a lot. Not this particular version of it, but one of the really, and before I tell you how this is a throwback and a reference, one of the cool things that's happened in the past since this song was released is there's a lot of direct communication now available to the artists that we love.
Yes.
And we can now actually be in touch with them. And this is one of those people that I've gotten to be online friends with. I wouldn't say friends, but like I know who this person is online. I follow two or three different, I'm in a couple of private groups with this person.
And do you have conversation with them?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I could pop on now and ask him a question about this album and he would answer the question about it.
You know, I think, Chris, that since this is now not only co-hosted and co-produced by the two of us, if I were in your shoes, might have reached out to him and said, would you like to come on and say a little something about this song for the Greatest Song You Never Heard podcast? I might do that.
So funny you mentioned that, because back in the early days of podcasting, I referenced, I actually played a song on my podcast originally that we've played on this show. And this artist was the singer of that song. And I reached out to him because I found his email. It was a Comcast email. And I got his this email and emailed him and said, can I play this on my podcast? And he called me and left me a voicemail.
Wow.
And he said something along the lines of, there's a line in this song about, no, it's a different song. He has a line in the song called, where he uses the phrase, the cock of the walk.
Okay.
And he goes, Chris Cochran, the cock of the walk. And since that day, I've been like, this guy's like one of my heroes, because not only is it such a phenomenal song, not only is his song, but this song is a throwback to a different song. But before we get into the throwback part, I want you to play song B, because a few years ago, I got a hold of an album that was a live concert that he did called It's For You. He's the lead singer of this band. It's For You. And it's basically like him singing all the favorites. And this song, he gives us an insight into how he wrote this song. And so we don't really listen to the whole thing, but we got to listen to the beginning of it at least. And I'll give you a finger cue of when we can fade out.
Okay, I stole the introduction of the song from Barry McGuire, so I'm going to have to do his song just as a tribute, just part of it.
And with that, you can see where I always love to find out with the origins of a song, and you know, good artists actually lift from other artists all the time. But I thought that was a cool introduction to this song and how he wrote this song. And this song actually was written by a gentleman by the name of Michael Rowe, who, by the way, did an album called Your Boat Ashore, which is an amazing thought.
That's where it all ties in, yep.
Not Mike Rowe, the podcast and Dirty Jobs guy, but Michael Rowe, the lead singer of the 77s, who is the first song that I ever brought to the show. We did the song Don't This Way, which was the song I was listening to back in 2000, whatever it was, 6 or 5, or when I came up with the idea for this podcast. That's the song that made me think of all of this stuff. So for the 100th episode, I wanted to bring it full circle and bring us back to the very beginning of the genesis.
Nice.
Of this. And I figured that the genesis of that song would fit in nicely as a 100th episode tribute.
Yes. And you forgot to mention Mike Rowe, the Dirty Jobs, the guy who's going to be going as the vice president runner to Robert Kennedy Jr.
For real? I didn't know that. That's crazy.
He was asked to do it.
Ow.
He's like, I think we have two opposite of opposing opinions. And Robert Kennedy Jr., to his credit, said, that's what I'm looking for.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but he said no. Anyway, different Mike Rowe.
Yes.
This is Michael Rowe. The Boat Ashore is fantastic name of, of an album.
Yes.
And what's the name of this album that The Lust, The Flesh, The Eyes, and The Pride of Life is?
Well, it's actually appeared on a bunch of different albums. The first time I heard it was on an album called Sticks and Stones from the 77s. But it actually first appeared on an album just called 77s, which was the Island Records release that we talked about previously, where they were on the Island Records label. They were going to be the next U2, and then U2 became a thing on Island Records, and they didn't have the resources to devote to the 77s. So another right. reason why this song was never big is because they got overshadowed by the by U2.
So this is what's so fun about doing this podcast, is some of the stories behind the songs. Why didn't they make it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why yeah. why did that song not make the charts? And with, again, the exception of the Traveling Wilburys, which hit number one. But
well, so did Cry from Cream and Godly. Or Goodly.
Goodly.
It hit the charts, but...
Well, you know, and so I don't know about you, because I get in my own world on this music. I will actually find out where these songs charted that I try to bring. Just,
yeah.
I don't want anything in the top 10
yeah,
from
yeah.
the band or artist. Okay. Because that's too risky.
Yep.
Again, exceptions to every rule. Guess yes. I should have probably done a better check on that one. But this song is so much fun, and I appreciate it. The fact that you actually took the time to kind of bring the, put a bow on 100 start to finish. Right. And now we start out next week with 101 and how that might look. And so this is such a fun thing to do with you.
Thank you, Phil. It's a fun thing to do with you. And just as a foretaste of what you might get next week.
Foretaste.
It might actually be music lesson 101 for Phil next week. Let me just leave that out there.
Oh, another lesson. Remember, it was last week, I believe, I got a lesson.
Mm.
I'm getting lessons all over the place. I'm learning so much that my head is about to explode. If you want to participate in some of these ideas, you might visit our website, which is thegreatestsongyouneverheard.com. You also could go onto the X Twitter platform, and that would wake up that handle, which is grossly undermanaged. And the Facebook page is the only other place that you can go. And I try to post some fun things on the Facebook page, not all about us. But anyway, there are some of the places. And gosh, I don't know. I have nothing. This is... We need sponsors, Chris. We need sponsors.
No, we just need to continue with this passion. And let me say this in closing.
Okay.
Phil, I have enjoyed every single moment of every single episode, including the two that disappeared because they got screwed up on my computer. I have enjoyed this immensely, doing this with you, and I look forward to it every time we record. And even when we can't record every week, I still look forward to the time that I have with you via this. And we'll always look back on these times and listen to this show and be grateful for the time that I got to spend with my good friend, Mr. Philip Matthias Anderson.
Ooh, nice. You're reading that. And I, too, enjoy every one of these. And they all evolve in a different way, which is what's so cool about it. And the two that you weren't able to publish because the audio is so unbearable to listen to, because I was down in California in a room that wasn't conducive for recording. So we move on and we learn.
Yes, we do.
And with that, Chris, do you want to put a bow on this about the touch and feel in here?
We will see you, feel you, hear you, and maybe even taste you next time as we sense you and maybe even reminisce about you on the next episode of The Greatest Song You've Never Heard Podcast. Hey, stop it. That's the wrong song.
Okay. That's a good song. I want to hear it.
But that's the wrong song.
Why'd you send me the wrong song, Chris?
I must have downloaded the wrong song. But I
this is so fun.